T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Time the game. What a night in Atlanta tonight. Braves up 3-1. Go for the NL title, the NL pennant, as they take on the Dodgers in Los Angeles. A little after 8 o'clock, the first pitch tonight, up 3-1. And at 7:30 tonight, the Atlanta Hawks tip off against Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks. Trae Young and company at State Farm Arena. Tickets available at hawks.com/tickets. And, of course, they're going to be the first of a really big weekend, too, because you've got the Hawks tonight, and then you got the big boxing thing, because we were talking to Evan Holyfield yesterday. You got the big boxing event coming up on Saturday night at State Farm Arena.
Yeah, it's a lot going on, man. That's exciting. Exciting. The weather's starting to change. We got some venues, basketball's back. We got a lot going on.
Yeah, that big fight. Evan Holyfield's on the card. Nico Ali Walsh, the grandson of Muhammad Ali, is going to be on the card. And then the big fight, which is Jermell Semperfi Herring against Shakur Stevenson in a junior lightweight world title bout. Tickets, by the way, available at statefarm.com/events at statefarm.com. StateFarmArena.com. StateFarmArena.com/events.
Yeah, I know the underboss is a big boxing fan. I wonder if he's going to go to the matches.
Yeah, you know, that's a good question.
No, I mean, he's a big boxing fan, so yeah.
That's a good question. All right, let's get into a little bit of rapid fire here, too. With the Hawks playing tonight, let's talk a little bit about, got a couple questions about the Hawks. We're going to do round the room here, Orrin, Aiden, Hugh, and ask them. Luka's in town. Luka. And I think that there's assumption here by my disdain for Luka Doncic that he's somebody I hate. I don't hate Luka, okay? I'm not hating on Luka.
Yeah, you do.
No, I've got a different villain, actually. And so, who is the Hawks' most hated villain, Hugh? Is it Luka? Is it Knicks fans? Is it the NBA media? Is it somebody else?
I mean, what are you asking me? Who hates the Hawks more?
Yeah, who do we hate the most? Luka, do we hate Knicks fans the
I
most?
I would say the Knicks. I mean, yeah, I would probably say the Knicks. We hate the Knicks. Well, we don't hate the Knicks because we own the Knicks. I don't know. That's a tough question to answer, John.
It really is.
It's a tough question to answer.
All right, let me answer it first for everybody. So I wrote down three, and you guys can have whatever you want. Who do we hate the most? Do we hate Luka? Not yet. I don't know, but, you know, it's tonight. And then Knicks fans, because they're spitting on our guy, and they're thinking it's over. The Knicks to the Dodgers. And to me, it's the NBA media. And the reason it's the NBA media is that they so crap on us. Now, granted, maybe we, you know, win something and they won't crap on you. But, you know, all through the playoffs last year, even going into tonight, I mean, the NBA media just looked down their noses at Atlanta. Like, you know, you're not worthy. It drives me nuts. The reason Luka Doncic is so much bigger a star than Trae Young is because the media wants to puff him. You know, I mean.
Well, I mean, Trae getting his, he getting his now, though, John. I mean, listen, I turn on TV, I see Trae in a lot. The 75th anniversary NBA Town or Basketball Street or whatever they call it, he's a part of that. He's doing commercials. See, he's a lot more visible this year than he was last year. So I don't know if I feel the same way that you do about that.
Right, no, that's fair enough. Orrin, who's the most hated villain for Hawks and Hawks fans?
Complacency? I don't know. Before I answer that question, I have to make an announcement here, guys. Okay. Whenever you guys come back to the studio, there is a surprise waiting for you both here.
Okay, cool.
Man, listen. It probably won't be in the studio. No,
oh, calm
time
down.
Soon.
You're coming in on Sunday, Hugh. You'll get it then.
Yeah, you'll see.
Relax.
You'll see what was dropped off for you and John.
You know what that is, John? I already know what that is. That's some shoes. That's some shoes. We got some shoes.
Oh, cool.
We'll see if they make it to Sunday.
Wow. See now that's what I call spite right there, because I figured it out. He got mad. He already yelling and screaming at me.
What size are
we?
Then
he got,
okay,
he just
move on. Oh, same size as me? What a coincidence.
See, then he get mad and then he yelling and screaming at me because I figured it out on
here. Oh, some shoes.
Look, do you want me to answer your question, John?
Yeah, you can real quick.
Because all this, you guys can pontificate about who Hawks fans should hate the most, and you guys are all wrong. That's fine. All wrong.
All right.
There's only one answer here. It's very clear and very obvious.
What's that?
Sean Wright.
Why?
Sean Wright's the guy we all hate.
That's the ankle. That's the referee.
That's
with the
referee. Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's the biggest villain in Atlanta.
Come on, dog. Okay. Yeah,
that dude better not step into State Farm Arena no more.
Well, he'll get his ankle stepped on.
I'm stepping on him. There's a good answer. All right. How many wins for the Hawks this year? Give me the over-under. I'm going to set it at 53. Is that too many? 53 and 29. By the way, 53 would probably get you the number, certainly the number four seed, might get you the number three seed in the playoffs in the East. 53 is a lot, Hugh. 53-29 against the schedule you're going to have to play. Can the Hawks get to 53 wins over-under?
I think they can. I think that this Hawks seed, listen, everybody's happy. You know, you talk about the beginning of last year, And all the stuff that was going on, all the innuendo about, you know, guys weren't happy or how the offense was being ran and things of that nature. That's all in the past. You know, everybody got their bread. You know, everybody's paid. I think 53 is doable. I definitely think that's
doable. Or in 53 over under. Can you get there?
No, I'm going to say under. 53 is a lot. Looking at the Eastern Conference standings from last year, the 76ers won the division with 49 wins. So 53 is, I mean.
Yeah, wait a second. That was a 72-game season, right?
72 games, yeah. Just even saying that, like,
this is an 82-game season.
I still think I will go under. Right. I think Vegas has it right now at, like, 47, 48. Mm-hmm. And I would say somewhere along those lines of 47, 48 for the Hawks.
Okay, but, if you're looking at the standings last year, keep in mind we have 10 more games this year. All right, 53, Abe, over under.
Yeah, that number I think is close, but I do think it's going to be under. And I only say that because I just think there's more teams in the East that can beat you on a given night this year as compared to last year. Now, I don't think that means you're not the four seed. I don't think anyone's getting to 62 wins in the East this year, or maybe even 60. I just think no one's going to be as dominant as they were last year overall. So I still think what you're talking about, maybe that 3-4 range, maybe even as low as the 5, but in terms of seeding, but I think 53 is a bit high.
Last night we had an unusual Wednesday night football game in college football, and Appalachian State up in Boone upset Coastal Carolina, ended their 20-game win streak. Another unbeaten team falls. When the AP rankings came out this week, it occurred to me, as we get ready for Thursday night football tonight and this weekend ahead with no Georgia game, that we have Georgia and Alabama and the Big Ten champion and Oklahoma. I went, you know, all the talk about chaos. Hugh, are
same
we really going to have chaos, or is it going to be same as it ever was?
I'm talking about as far as
as the playoff.
I think it's probably going to be the same as it was.
Yeah,
the usual suspects. Yes.
Yeah. Chaos are the usual suspects there, Oren.
I still buy Cincy sneaking in somehow, some way.
If that amounts to chaos,
then that's chaos. Then yeah, okay. But they're the second. Chaos. They're ranked number two right now, so it wouldn't be that crazy.
Chaos, or as it looks now, it's shaping up. It's not so chaotic there. Is it kind of same as it ever was, Abe?
Yeah, I'm kind of with Oren on this. On the Cincinnati thing, to me, creates chaos, right? And maybe not in result, but I mean, how many times, John, have we sat and talked to you or experts or? You know, Nick Costos or Mike Conti, whoever it may be that's a college football guy, had said there's no way the committee's ever taking Cincinnati. And I don't know how they avoid it.
It wasn't me.
Well, no, but well, I mean, we sat here and talked
pundits.
It. We talked about it.
Yeah, we talked about it.
It's certainly been discussed.
Punditry.
I don't know how we can't call it chaos when I don't see a way that they can avoid Cincinnati.
If they're unbeaten,
except for the Alabama-Georgia thing. But I think Georgia's beating Alabama. And if that happens, I don't think you're – I don't know how you can't call that chaos if Cincinnati gets in.
You know it'll be chaotic.
But I do think you're talking about Oklahoma, Georgia, Big Ten champion, and Cincinnati.
You know it would be chaotic if Wake got in. That would be chaotic.
Yes, that would be chaotic. And if Wake's unbeaten, then we'd have
– That's the only chaotic thing.
I think I'd take an unbeaten Cincy over.
Oh, I agree. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, but I think his point is that we'd have an argument. We'd have screaming and all that kind of stuff. Movies are out. What are you hottest for, guys? Halloween Kills, The Last. All right, let me. Okay.
I can answer this just as quickly.
Let me finish the question. Boy, Halloween Kills, The Last.
I saw Halloween Kills last night.
All right, let me finish the question. Halloween Kills, The Last Duel, Dune. The Harder They Fall.
What is The Last Duel?
That is the Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, King Charles one that really
like
looks good.
$3 million last
That's
week.
That's that movie
box
that
office.
Sucks for 2 hours and is great
suck?
For 8 minutes.
Oh, don't tell me it sucks.
Dude, it got killed at the box
It's great for 8 minutes at the end. It sucks for 2 hours.
Yeah, it got killed in the box office.
I was looking forward to that one. That sucks.
Sorry,
okay.
Right. A lot of people are saying the finish makes the 2 hours of crap worth it. I'm not one of those people.
Halloween Kills, no good to you? Good?
I didn't like it because it did, like, it. I don't want to spoil it for anybody because you need to watch it. I didn't like it, but you know, it got mixed reviews. They what's the best way that I can say this without spoiling it for anybody? I'm not going to say it. But anyway, it's not good. It's not good at all. I didn't like it.
What are you most into there, Oren?
The James Bond movie.
Okay.
I heard that was pretty good. They say that's the best James Bond ever.
Abe, what are you most into?
Of that list, certainly Dune. I don't know if I'm going to be able to find a way to see it this weekend, but I'm going to try.
Oh, really?
I'm going to try.
I got to say,
man, it's a long movie. I don't have a ton of time.
Listen, I'm going to go ahead and pull that all night of the night, bro. As soon as that thing drops.
You just make sure you're awake. I don't want to have any technical difficulties in the morning.
You're so angry.
Why is he late this morning, Dune?
Hey, let me tell you this, if there's a technical difficulty tomorrow morning, there's also going to be a technical difficulty keeping track of your special gift. How about that?
Wow. Threats.
We're over here. I haven't even answered the question, but okay. I was going to say, you know, the trailers for the Harder They Fall look really, really good. If you haven't seen the trailer for The Harder They Fall, yeah, that looks pretty good.
I haven't seen that. Yeah. Dune looks pretty good.
Check it out. The Harder They Fall.
Yeah.
Because it looks, but I'm a Western fan, and NFL headlines, and we'll get into it a little bit as we get into our question about the Braves this morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
A little NFL, and then we'll get back into the big stories of the day. NFL headlines brought to you by Cool-Ray Heating and Cooling's Lifetime Parts and Labor Warranty. Just to update you on a couple of stories from the NFL here as we get ready for Sunday's game between the Falcons and the Dolphins. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m. with the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, Hugh and Chuck, and, of course, 11 o'clock for the network, Chris and Harry, and then 1 o'clock from Miami, Wes and Dave, on the call of the Falcons and the Dolphins. I should also mention to you, by the way, when the game does end, you want to come back in for Falcons Flyover on 92.9 The Game or on our Facebook page where we do the live Falcons Flyover as well on Sunday. Hugh Douglas, we get ready for this game Sunday against the Dolphins. Chance to go to 3-3. Can we overstate how important it is for the Falcons at this juncture to be able to go down there? And you're talking about a Miami team that's reeling right now. I think one of the stories I saw called them the worst team in the NFL after that loss to the Jaguars. And if you, you know, got a chance to kick a team while it's down here,
do
the two are banged up and struggling. You got to do that, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, but let's be honest. This team has not taken care of business when we thought they should have a couple times.
Yeah,
now, with the bye, with them having the bye, you would think that they have time to work on some of the mistakes. And, you know, you know every coach self-evaluates at this point in the season. You know, so you hope that they come back and they correct some of the mistakes that they made early on. You know, get some guys healthy. Unfortunately, we don't know what's going on with Dante Fowler. We don't know what's up with that situation. So there's that. But, you know, give you a chance. You know, beat up on the team. They're bad. Beat them because they're bad. You know, they're playing bad right now. There were some reports out there that they're thinking about trading for Deshaun Watson. Beat them because they're bad, man. Beat them because they're bad right now.
Apparently, there's, you know, the next-gen stats are next-gen stats, but apparently there is this new one called Havoc. I had never heard of this one before. This is brand new to me as of this morning. It's called Havoc, H-A-V-O-C, Havoc. And it is a stat. It's a team defensive stat for
the
NFL.
Havoc on the quarterback, yeah.
It's sacks plus tackles for losses or no gain, plus forced fumbles, plus interceptions, plus pass deflections, plus quarterback pressures, okay? All those things combined and rolled into one thing called Havoc. The Bills have the top number one Havoc defense in the NFL. They're followed by the Browns, the Panthers at number three, the Cowboys at four, and the Buccaneers at five. The Falcons are 29. I got a little bit of Havoc there going.
I mean, that's a cute stat. It's a nice name. I like the name. I mean, I do.
I mean,
I like
do.
The name. Yeah. I've never, you know. I mean, it's just ways like, you know, like when I was playing way back when we wore leather helmets, John, pressures was not a big deal. Like, pressures was something that's – can't say okay. I did, but pressures weren't that big of a deal. I'm just gonna say that pressures weren't that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. But now all of a sudden you hear that a lot when it comes to people rushing the pass. Oh, he got a lot of pressure. He got the most pressures in the NFL. Pressures don't those are not sacks. Those are not sacks. So I mean, you know, these next gen stats. I mean, I respect them, and I know that there's something that we have to have, but still, that right there, man, that's just too much. That is just too much.
Yeah, like I tend to agree.
I don't get it.
You know, sometimes pressure is not necessarily a good thing because maybe you're not, you know, you're seeking to get pressure on a quarterback rather than set the edge and do your job and contain. You know, maybe that's not pressure, maybe it's not sexy, maybe it's not a stat, but when you're playing a running quarterback and you decide you're going to cut it upfield because you want to get a pressure and create a lane inside and he burns you for 25 yards with his feet, that's not a good thing. That's – but he got a pressure, so that counts to Havoc? Uh-uh. You know, so I mean –
Well, yeah,
you know.
I mean, stats can be made right. to say what you want them to say.
So that's my point.
I mean,
point.
You
yeah,
know,
right,
I mean, they can be made to say what you want them to say.
Right.
And the bottom line is this. To me, the only stat that ever mattered when it came to the quarterback and defensive lineman is sacks.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only one that matters.
Tackles the quarterback.
For loss.
Yeah.
Tackles for loss, sacks,
yep.
stuff like
yep.
that. So, yeah, that all that other stuff, nah, that ain't what's hot in the streets, in my opinion.
Yeah, Dante Fowler missed, and Dante's played better this year. I think we all agree on that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, number six now. Dante has a knee and is missed practice yesterday, so we'll keep our eyes on that. And he is talking about quarterback pressures and the ability to get to the passer, something the Falcons have not been able to do. If Dante Fowler can't go against Tua, that will be certainly a big loss because the Falcons haven't we haven't seen Ogundeji kind of grow yet. I mean, I'm not. Look, he's a rookie. Marlon's been dinged up. We haven't still seen really the, you know, whatever impact Marlon Davidson is going to have as a pro. You know, so it's been a little light. Stephen Means was a little dinged up. I mean, it's been a little light on that pass rush thing, Hugh. I mean, and all, I mean we know what it is.
It's been light for a long time, though, too, John. You know?
Yeah, it has
it's
been
light for a long time.
Yeah, I saw a mock draft yesterday. I think it was CBS. And they had the Falcons taking a wide receiver. I was like,
Okay, you guys are not
like
paying
again.
Attention.
It all depends on who mock draft you look at.
Yeah,
you know,
I just
because I saw one mock draft that the guy didn't have Jordan Davis in the top five.
Yeah, I did too.
Top 10.
You know, I'm like, yeah, what
okay. are you looking at?
He's a nose tackle. I'm like, so
man,
what?
Man, he can play. Like, he can't play D tackle.
You're right. He can't play three gap? Come on, stop.
Man, listen. I don't understand.
You put Jordan Davis next to Grady Jarrett?
You put Jordan Davis next to anybody. I mean, like, his size and his speed translates immediately to the NFL. It ain't a whole like, you know, you talk about the learning curve and all this other stuff. That guy, he's a plug and play guy for 10 plus years in the NFL, in my opinion.
Totally. And
I'm going
agree.
Off of yeah. The guys that I played with from Georgia, the guys that I've seen play from Georgia that played that position. Come on, man. Stop. Well,
and again, this isn't hyperbole, but I'm pretty sure that he could, 32 teams in the NFL. I think if he quit Georgia today and went straight to the NFL,
don't do that.
Two
John.
Days, I know, but he's not. Of course not. I'm just saying. But if he quit Georgia today and then the NFL let him come into the league this afternoon, he could show up on 30 of those teams and start Sunday. I mean, he is. I mean, he's ready.
I think so. You know, see ball, get ball.
Yeah, right. Put him in. You put him alongside your number one guy, and then go. You know, so, I mean, oh, yeah, the Falcons are taking a wide receiver. I'm like, are you out of your mind? You're taking Jordan Davis. I mean, if he's on the board, you're taking Jordan Davis. If not, then you're probably taking N'Kobe Dean. I'm not one of these people, by the way, who goes, we have to draft Georgia Bulldog. Nah, that's stupid, okay? That's dumb. You don't
draft
somebody
based on college.
It just so happened that
the best, one of the best players is
but,
Georgia Bulldog.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It happens to be
at a position of need.
Need, right.
Yeah, I mean, I would take – like, listen, when I see that guy run, I'm like – you know, it's weird because I'm like, damn, you know, like playing with a guy like that. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine how many like just put him on the line with anybody? Like he takes a lot of pressure off of everybody else that's on the field, in my opinion. You know, I mean, he's just that dominant. And then when you look at him when he played with those other guys, N'Kobe Dean and those guys, you know, everybody does everything that they possibly can to stop him. But then you got six more guys that can come and get after the quarterback.
Here comes Walker,
too.
Here comes Carter, yeah. Here comes Anderson, right? I mean, yeah, they just, yeah, you know, they used
they're
to have
that thigh out.
Running backs out the gas station. They got defensive front seven out the gas station.
Well, I tell you what, Ben George, yeah, listen, he has to be on campus.
They don't
getting
have to,
all
they don't
the
have
love.
To use their secondary to blitz at all.
No, dude. he on campus getting all the love because, okay. and the coaches love him because if he wasn't there. Ain't no telling what this defense will look like. He's the catalyst.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and then not having Julian Rochester because of the injuries and stuff, but still, I mean, and you know, yeah, Jordan Davis is coming back, changed the season and the arc for the Georgia Bulldogs. Totally agree. We are asking on our Twitter this morning at 9:29 the game, Braves fans up 3-1 again. And we're going to be asking you because we're going to open up the phone lines now, and we want to hear from you at 404-741-0929. Same as last year, up 3-1 again like they were against the Dodgers, or not this year? And it is a huge night tonight. And everybody going to have two TVs or two devices or something like that, Hugh, to watch the Hawks and the Braves at the same time. I don't know which I'm more excited about. It's like trying to pick between your children. I am excited for the Hawks opening night. Can't wait to see the Hawks. And crossing my fingers that we are – screaming on Twitter at sometime around midnight tonight. All right, your chance to jump into the program, talk to Hugh and I. Braves fans up 3-1 again. Is it the same as last year or not this year? This is different because the Braves are about to go to the World Series. You tell us as we continue on Sports Radio 92 on the game and Odyssey.com.
Right field hit well, and this one is up and out! A home run for Rosario. A three-run blast. It's not going to be a cycle, but he'll take that every day. Rosario with his second homer. A four-hit night. And the Braves bust it wide open here in the ninth inning. It's 9-2.
You knew what kind of player he was. And 2 years ago, he hit 30-plus home runs. So he's just been looking so good at the plate, seeing everything well, hitting balls hard. And it's just a huge game, and especially this whole series so far.
Yeah, Rosario's been swinging that incredibly hot bat. And all from the it's such an interesting side story, I think, too. Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh. About Hugh that Orem, when he told us that what Rosario, I want to make sure I get this correct, and we'll get to the calls here. Rosario went back and he got the bat from the five pitch cycle, which he was going to keep for a memento, I guess, and he broke it back out. Is that correct?
Yeah, he was keeping it as a trophy, I guess, in his locker.
Right.
And before he had the walk off single in game two, he broke it back out. So that bat right now is.
He's in rotation.
The good luck of all good luck charms right now. So,
yep. You know, sometimes you know you got went literally a hot bat, after last night. So the Braves are up 3-1. They were up 3-1 last year. It's eerily similar. Eerily. I mean, they're playing the Dodgers in the NLCS. Braves won the first two last year, lost game three, and won game four 10-2. This year they won the first two, lost game three, won game four 9-2. So is it the same as last year where the Braves ended up losing games 5, 6, and 7, or not this year the Braves got this? 404-741-0929. And I think all of us on the show said
Braves got this.
Yeah, Braves got this, not this year.
I can't – you know what, John? I can't remember the scenario last year, but did they end the game last year like they did last night, you know, with like in the eighth inning with the Rosario a home run? Was it like that?
You mean in game four? I don't remember.
Game four. Yeah, I don't think it was like that.
I don't think so, no. They won 10-2. I'd have to go back and look at the box. Because I remember, you know, they had chances in the game seven. They lost game seven 4-3. I remember that. But, yeah, Bryce Wilson and A.J. Minter.
Six runs, six innings. It was Orem just told me it was a 6-run, 6-inning. So, no, it's not the same. It's definitely not the same.
Let's go to your calls here. Is it the same as last year, and you still think there might be a curse here, and we haven't gotten past it? Braves did win at Dodger Stadium last night, by the way. So they snapped that little whatever streak they had going, what, 8 in a row that they had lost there. So is it the same as last year, and you still, you know, we can't get ahead of ourselves, or do you get a sense that this is totally different here? Andre's in Marietta. He's on with John and Hugh. Hey, Andre.
Andre.
Hey, how you guys doing? Great stuff this morning. I want to make two quick points. First of all, I want to say – obviously, I'm hoping the Braves close this out. But I can't help when you speak of the curse, I can't help but think there are certain Atlanta sports fans that almost like the fact that Atlanta sports losing because they just, I don't know, maybe they like the fact that they can say, oh, we're cursed, and they can use that as an excuse for every loss. This is a theory of mine. I think there are people who almost get a little kick out of us losing that are fans of Atlanta sports. So that, you know, every other loss they can say, oh, we're that team that always gets screwed over and chokes losses. Like, that's part of their identity, right?
So Andre, just for a second, so you understand. You're absolutely right. There were a lot of Cubs fans. Remember the whole Cubs curse, right? The lovable losers who never wanted the Cubs to win the World Series because then they weren't who they were anymore.
They call those people special.
I feel like that's become some people's identity of like, oh, we're the losers and we, you know, that's what we do. So they kind of in a little bit low key want us to lose so that they can keep that part up. And they feel like they don't have anything else to make themselves as a sports fan given identity. And my second point real quick, I don't know how many of you guys are watching the broadcast on TBS this series, but I seen Mike Bell tweet about it and a few other Steve Holman tweets. Brian Anderson is the most insufferable announcer to listen to. It's almost like he wants he's pretty much rooting for the Dodgers through the telecast.
Yeah, we did mention that. Thanks.
You mean the fact that he gets excited when they do something?
Yeah, yeah. Like I said yesterday when we were doing the highlights of Game 3 and Brian Anderson was talking about, you know, the highlights of Game 3 and I came out and I said, you know, that's the Dodgers radio network or TBS. It doesn't make the same difference.
Yeah, he gets excited. He gets super excited when they do something.
I wonder if he was really excited when he saw the cars leaving the parking lot earlier.
Well, he almost peed his pants, you know, the other night when they came back. Oh my gosh, it's so wonderful. Yeah, go on with that, man.
Cole's in Dallas here. He's on with John and Hugh. Is it same as last year, Cole, or not this year?
Hey guys.
Hey.
I say this year we're in a great spot for a couple reasons. First off, we already got through the bullpen game. I think that at this point last year, we were still waiting on that to happen. So getting through that was huge. And then also having a fresh Max Fried and Anderson's huge. The second thing is them not having Turner or Muncy in their lineup is big for us. Those are two big bats that they're definitely going to miss. And then last, and probably the biggest thing, is we're actually coming home. If we don't win tonight, we're actually coming home, which is huge. And that Truist is rocking in these playoff games. So I'm excited to see what happens over the next couple of games.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of a little torn. You know, I mean, I know, you know, World Series and stuff, that's going to be something different, you know, once we get there, you know, it'll be here. But to be at the Battery, mm-hmm. during that time, that's going to hit different, John. That's going to hit different. If the Braves, you know, if the Braves bring this thing back home and they win it at home, that's going to hit a little different, you know, and people are going to probably be – I remember when the Phillies – you know, got to the World Series and when they won it, like, just the pandemonium in the streets. Could you see people running down the street on what, 80, 75? Like, on the Battery, like, closing down the highway or whatnot if the Braves won the World Series? Could you see something like that?
Yeah, I mean, the Battery would be, yeah. Cobb Parkway.
I mean, like, Liberty. You know, 285.
Will be jumping. Yeah, yeah, I mean,
yeah, everybody, right? Just running down the streets and traffic be all screwed up. That would be something to see. That would definitely be something to see, man. I I'm kind of getting excited about it. I hope it happens. I really, really do, because that would be pretty cool to see. That would really be cool. I know I'm getting ahead of myself, and that's not what I'm supposed to do, but I just had a moment.
You know, and Cole said, you know, they don't have Muncy, they don't have Turner. Of course, they do have Turner. But yeah, the whole thing of we don't have Bauer, and we don't have Kershaw, and we don't have Muncy, and everybody keeps playing this card, and I keep going back to it. Did I miss that we don't have the best player in baseball for a half a year and he ain't playing? Did I miss Marcelo Ozuna? Did I miss Mike Soroka, our number one starter? Did I miss that we don't have guys too? Or okay,
Mike,
I guess. I don't know why everybody says, you know, the Dodgers don't have these guys, as if we have everybody. I'm like, okay, all right. Blake is in Cartersville. He's on with John and Hugh. Hey, Blake.
Hey, I have a couple points. I think this year is different than last year because we have – it seems like they want it more. You know, I think with all the injuries that we faced and kind of, you know, the adversity we faced, you know, at one point in the season, I thought, oh, Lord, this is going to be another Braves choke year. And I really hate that because I've always been a Braves fan. But I think this year that Snicker needs to play his cards. Even in game five coming tonight, I think Snicker needs to play his cards. Put all the chips in on the table. If we get a lead, 1-2-run lead, and Free gets in trouble, I think he needs to bring out some of the other starters. Hey, let's see what we can do if we can get one or two innings, you know, and every all hands on deck, because it would be super sweet to get it in L.A. That would just make it even more bittersweet, because last year they did beat us 3-1. And to be able to get it on their home turf, that's like a slap in the face to them saying, here you go, we're a different team.
You know, I feel you on that, but I'm not going to lie. I would want it to be here. Because think about it like this, John. I mean, everybody and their mother, even if you don't have a ticket to the game, you're going to be at the Battery because you want to be a part of history. You know what I mean? So that would be cool. That aspect of it would be cool, because all the people would be out, like, to be there and just to see the Battery jumping and then to see the Braves win, just to see the reaction of everybody. Like a collective sigh of relief, you know, knowing that, you know, you still got a lot more baseball left to be played, still got to get four more games, but still, just to have it here in Atlanta, man, and have it like that. But, I mean, I'm down with closing it out tonight, too. I'm cool with that. But it would be cooler if it was here in Atlanta, though.
Terrence is in Atlanta. He's on with John and Hugh. Same as last year, Terrence, or not this year?
I believe it's over. To be honest, I hope the Braves slam it, go on tonight, and just get the series over with.
Yeah, I'm with you, Terrence. Thanks.
Short,
do appreciate it.
Shortened to the point. That's how you say
it. 404-741-0929. We have a chance to take your questions after the top of the hour here. Do we know yet, Aber Oren, who's pitching tonight for the Dodgers? It's Max Fried, obviously. Max Scherzer is pitching. Did you say pitching tonight?
No Scherzer tonight. No Scherzer tonight. He's going to pitch Saturday. Dave Roberts said last night they're going to give him extra rest, and tonight's going to be a bullpen game.
Okay,
for the Dodgers.
Yeah. Scherzer's going to get extra rest, right? He's going to get extra rest next year, okay? That's what he's going to get extra. Because it ain't going to be no Saturday night. All right, Max, you're done. You can pack up your bags. You can go home. This is over. God. Dave Roberts has so mismanaged this team and this pitching staff. It's Man, he's so mismanaged at Hugh that last night he's leaving Julio Arias out there to get Arias.
He got worked like a shift, but that was
because
that's all he had.
He had nothing. He had nothing to go to.
That's all he had.
Yeah,
that's
he couldn't go to anything. He was like, I ain't got anything I can go to because I overworked all my guys, including the guy that's pitching. You know, so yeah, Dodgers fans ought to get mad at him for the way he handled it. You know, so get mad at Snit all you want for this or that. Fact is, he's handled this really well. Oh, and by the way, yeah, we also don't have Soler, right? Yeah, that too. More of your calls next. Phone line's open. You want to jump in and talk to Hugh and I, 404-741-0929. Question on the table this morning, same as last year when we were up 3-1. The Braves are up 3-1 in the NLCS over the Dodgers, or it's different this time, not this year. Next on The Morning Show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.